Kel-Tec launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Kel-Tec P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This striker fire pistol is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double-stack magazine holds 15 plus 1 total capacity. That's standard. All Kel-Tec firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec.
Title 42, the Public Health Authority, ended about 7.5 hours ago. Our traditional immigration enforcement authorities that deliver tougher consequences started immediately thereafter, and there's been one constant through it all, and that is a broken immigration system.
The traditional immigration enforcement is up and running again, boys and girls. Well, if the traditional system is back, then what in places have we been going through? Hey, welcome to the Dana Show, amigo. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and I'm in for my friend Dana Lash. And we're broadcasting today's program from what I refer to as the Dana Show Southern Command, proud affiliate KURV here in South Texas. And you want to say hi online, it's at Sergio Talk on Twitter and Sergio at KURV.com. Oh my goodness, compliments to producer Steve. He did an awesome job gathering a bunch of audio on all days, right? It's as if universal forces, God Almighty, like Jesus, he put it on the calendar. Okay, I'm going to put Serge right there on the border. We're doing the Dana Show from the U.S.-Mexican border right there in McAllen, Texas, near Brownsville, Texas. We're going to do the show on that day immediately after Title 42 has been lifted. Let's talk immigration mess, because we don't do enough. And I know some of y'all who listen to all these headlines, especially here in South Texas, it's immigration mess, fiasco, fatigue that we have. And I get it. We've gone through several administrations, and these issues that should have been taken care of step by step, point by point, through single issue legislation have never been taken care of. Because I know it's complex, and yet still the cry by some, we need comprehensive immigration reform. Hell no, amigo. We need to secure the border. We do not have a secure border. The lies continue. The border is open. The lies continue. Today, it's like for today and tomorrow and several days, as you see Mr. Dirty Clean, Alejandro Mayorkas, doing absolutely the minimum Mayorkas possible to secure the border. He's out there just spewing lies. And you know, KJP, I mean, Karine Jean-Pierre at the White House, just these people just flapping their gums. Nothing but lies. Like, what are you going to believe? You going to believe your eyes? Or are you going to believe the lies that they continue to spew? I mean, for the Democrats, there is no problem. This mess that is exponentially worse than anything you have seen under Trump, anything that you even saw under Obama, to his credit. Obama, years ago, decade ago, at least he was, you know, taking credit for immigration, customs enforcement, ICE, large numbers of deportations of criminal aliens. He tried to laser focus all of his agents over at ICE, go find the criminals and kick him out of the country. We don't have any of that right now. We have a broken dam, a broken levee, a broken border. It is a flood. It's a nonstop flood right now. Mayorkas is like, forgive me for saying it this way, it's clownish what is taking place. I see him, it's clown world. He is the star clown in the center ring right now. Well, this mess belongs to his boss. He's out there trying to entertain the crowd and trying to distract the crowd from, you know, there's nothing to see here. You know, just follow me, boys and girls. Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, this clown show that he is. You're going to hear so much from him today, so much tomorrow. My goodness. It's like the traditional immigration enforcement that he is promising that now kicked in, this so-called Title VIII policy. You don't come in legally, then you're going to be punished. You know, waving his finger. I'm thinking, waving his finger to these illegal immigrants. They know the border is open. This traditional immigration enforcement that through several administrations and several sessions of Congress have given us what, amigo? The Dreamers, right? I mean, we have about just under a million, give or take 700,000, 800,000 folks in this country. Oh, but Serge, they were brought to the U.S. as babies. They were little children. They didn't know what was going on. I hear you. Some of these people don't even speak Espanol or Mandarin or Swahili, whatever it is. Mostly Espanol, mostly Spanish. They don't speak that anymore. They're literally first generation. They thought they were Americans. I get it. I understand. And you hear no noise, no reference to them. The you know, the so-called Dreamers, the folks who are now grown up, and because of this weird, you know, Obama policy of taking pen to paper thing and forcing the issue and giving them some sort of partial amnesty for them to stay here and work and go to school and all that. So, okay, fine, you got 700,000, 800,000. Amigo, by the end of the Biden administration, we're going to have well over 7 million, 8 million, maybe 10 million illegal immigrants in this country. This is exponentially worse than whatever Obama tried to do or wanted to do. And if you believe, you know, that, you know, he wanted to do this to take down the country, well, this is worse. This is exponentially worse, what's going on under Biden. This traditional immigration enforcement system from years back that has given us wave upon wave and wave of new Dreamers. Let me start clearing some of this clownish audio from Alex Mayorkas. It's cut five, Steve-O. Go ahead, cut five.
We prepared for this moment for almost 2 years, and our plan will deliver results. It will take time for those results to be fully realized, and it is essential that we all take this into account.
Cut eight real quick, Steve. Go.
So we are working very closely with nonprofit organizations, with community groups, to really deliver a community response to the challenge. I cannot overstate how much of a challenge it is going to be and how we all have to deal with it as one administration and one country.
A community response, I catch that word. I'm looking at all this audio from this clown, Alex Mayorkas, DHS chief, so-called chief. The community, you know, the community response should be, in my opinion, and coming to you from South Texas, from the opposite side of Texas, where Dana's in North Texas. I'm in South Texas. The community response should be Governor Greg Abbott putting every single, all personnel, all law enforcement personnel, DPS, get some sheriffs out there, volunteer with local law enforcement in the counties that actually try to do a good job in border enforcement, have to deal with the problem of illegal immigration. Get everybody from Fish and Wildlife. Get everybody from the General Land Office. Go to the border, follow DPS, put a DPS van, DPS SUV walls, lock arms, and say, no, you're not coming into Texas. You go over there. Point next door to, New Mexico. Point next door to Arizona. Go over there, muchachos. And the folks who do get across, continue doing the whole busing thing. I think Texas could and should do a lot more. Governor Abbott, friend, I love you. You know I love you, friend. But there's a lot more that can be done than a strongly worded letter and a small group of specially trained individuals here and there going to select areas of the border. We have over 1,000 miles of Texas border that need human beings on the ground, Texas individuals on the ground, to make sure to push back. Do not let them in. Catch them. Send them back. I want that challenge with the federal government. And on the issue of delivering results, this clown Mayorkas, our plan going to deliver results, says Alex Mayorkas. It's going to take time. I was reading that quote from him, and I was thinking, yeah, like take time. Because our country, more than likely, I hope and pray that we have enough of the mushy middle political mass in this country that still loves America, wishes to preserve our country. I hope that there's enough of them that we still will oscillate between what we have, unfortunately, unless we get some new miracle revolution, political revolution that rises up and says, okay, this is it. More like an America first mindset, but truly is committed to putting courageous people on the ballot nationwide with a very clear message that we're going to prioritize liberty, we're going to prioritize capitalism, we're going to prioritize border security, national security, we're going to prioritize America first. Unless something like that, because right now, you got Trump and some Republicans behind Trump, and the new expressions in the Republican Party, like Ron DeSantis and some other folks who work in the cabinet for President Trump. This America First mindset, it needs stronger legs underneath it to save this nation. But in the meantime, we're still oscillating. DNR, with a D, just a crazy, demented D, just crazy leftist social revolution, just crazy stuff. And of course, the R, some of them pretending to be conservative, traditionalists, even so constitutionalists. Yeah, it's going to take time. You think about it. Going left and right, D and R, D, split government here, split government over there. Maybe you get right of center president, maybe a liberty-minded president, a pro-security, pro-police president, but then you got a messed up Senate. I saw a quote from Mitch McConnell the other day, the turtle, saying, well, we could still screw this up as far as, oh man, I swear, Senator Mitch, if you screw up the next election cycle with all these Democrats up for vote again, all the low-hanging fruit for you to pick, because there's a bunch of Democrats that are running for re-election next go around, this immigration mess needs to be put right there at their doorstep. This stinking sack of immigration policy poop needs to be lit and put at the doorstep of all these Democrats and start plucking them left and right, left and right, left and right. Run some good people. You still got time, Mitch. There's no reason for you to be so afraid. What, the midterm elections scare you? Yeah, that's because the GOP really, really sucks at messaging. Yeah, there's still time. And I'm thinking, as Mayorkas is saying this, that their plan is to deliver results. Like delivered results for whom? It's going to take time for those results to be fully realized. And I'm thinking in the near future, hopefully we still have enough political mushy middle in this country to move us more towards liberty and law enforcement and law and order. Go left and right, DNR, split governments, not really passing anything, and time will fly by. 5 and 7, 10 year windows. Immigration court hearings, they won't attend. All these 2 million plus, that by the end of this swing, probably be 3, 4 million plus people that will be waiting in immigration court for a hearing that they will never attend. And guess what? They put down some roots, have lots of kids. Look at that. We spring up a new population of dreamers. And wait for, think about it, what's taking place right now? Wait for all this leftist, Marxist, revolutionary brainwashing at public schools. Half generation later, socialist minded, America hating, capitalism hating, down with America mindset. All these voters, they turn 18 and finally go and pull the lever. Then you get full throttle leftism, Marxism, crazy Democrats. Give blanket amnesty to all illegals in maybe a half generation, about 20 years. Maybe that's what he's referring to, right? It's going to take time to provide results. This is the Dana Show, amigo. We're reporting to you from the bullseye of news, the U.S.-Mexican border here in the RGV of Texas. We're going national here at KURV, South Texas Radio. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You want to say hello online? It's Sergio at KURV.com or on Twitter at Sergio Talk. This is the Dana Show.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347. CBP sources tell me in the last 3 days in a row, Border Patrol has made at least 10,000 migrant apprehensions. Those are the highest daily totals ever recorded. Fox is also told in the coming days, we can expect to see the largest wave of mass releases the U.S. has ever seen.
Yeah, that's the... I know you guys are paying attention, listening to the Dana Show, because you guys are smarter than the average radio listening bear. That's Bill Malugin over at Fox. Thanks to Bill and the Fox team and Newsmax and all the other conservative channels that were in town bringing reporters down here. A big thank you to Bill. Big thanks to the Grifter, as I lovingly refer to him, Griff Jenkins as well, for their spot-on work here on the border. All right, Steve-O, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I apologize. I should have reset. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. This is the Dana Show from her Southern Command. That's right. We're in the Rio Grande Valley reporting to you right near where it's the bullseye of news. Headlines, Peloton is recalling over 2 million exercise bikes because the seat can break while in use. Consumer Product Safety Commission folks saying 35 reports of seats breaking, 13 injuries. Let's see. Google coming out with a folding phone, $1,800, just shy of $1,800. I mentioned this technology. I know it was in the news a couple of days back, but when I saw this, I'm going, man, I wonder how many of these folks that are coming to us from the Americas and Africa and other places in the world, how many of these folks do have the money? You notice some of these illegal immigrants, they have nicer phones than you and I have. And Paul Walker's daughter will make an appearance in the latest entry in the Fast and Furious franchise. That's Fast X. She's 24-year-old, grew up on the set with her dad, Paul Walker. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arnn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
They point to Border Patrol's own numbers, which show that going back to October of last year, there were more than 1 million apprehensions, but then there were also more than 530,000 gotaways. That's roughly the size of the population of the city of Baltimore. How can you say that the border is not open?
So we removed, returned, and expelled 1.4 million people last year. Ask those 1.4 million people if they think the border is open. Our apprehension rate at the border is consistent with the apprehension rate.
Yeah, that's under Title 42, clown. Alex Mayorkas. It's under Title 42. The big chunk of that number is individuals who were single, but male, female. There's only two. There's a male or female. There might be some confused people either way, but it was single, male, single, female. And Title 42, okay, you guys go over there, 30%, 35% of the illegal immigrant population, you guys go over there, we're going to put you on a bus, we're going to put you on a plane, send you back. Yeah, but the question was for gotaways, the people that, you know, got away. Because the Border Patrol's too busy processing people coming across the border illegally. Yeah. Welcome to the Dana Show, amigo, for a post-Title 42 Friday edition. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, and it's like all the universal forces, they aligned, and God Almighty said, Serge needs to do the Dana Show today from the border. So hey, here I am, Lord. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me the words. There's so much to say, so much information. America, you need to wake up. Neighbors in the nation's midsection, you guys on the left coast, you're not completely lost. You just need to rise up again and claim Reagan country, claim California, claim the West Coast. Well, maybe not Oregon. They're completely lost. And maybe Washington State's completely lost to the communists. But at least California, you guys can rise up. Just do the hard work of registering people to vote out in California. I know you've got a conservative little line, a little ember still in you somewhere. I've seen it in how you guys vote to protect certain businesses, certain enterprises versus union impositions on you guys on the West Coast. But if you want to say hi online, it's Sergio at KURV.com. That's my email. On Twitter at Sergio Talk. 530,000 got away. It's something I, you know, and these are criminals, people. Those, of course, yes, I hear you. Okay. I can feel the heat. They're all criminals. They cross the border illegally. I got it. Some of them are repeat crossers, illegal crossers. That those are felons, and none of that is being done. Nothing's being done to enforce the law there, especially under this administration. And when you try to do something about it to make sure they, you know, properly register on the radar because they cross illegally, you know, like let's say under Donald Trump, they're separating families. They're separating the children from mom and dad who needs to go down the street to federal court to speak to a magistrate real quick to say, yes, I crossed illegally. Thank you. Okay, and is released back to their kids. My goodness, what crazy times. Just hyper crazy times we're in. These getaways. They're the drug runners. They're the ones bringing the poisonous drugs, the fentanyl crap into our country, killing, you know, tens and tens of thousands of Americans every single year. Man, I even got some Democrat sheriffs, because I mean, here in Texas, it's still politics, this DNR politics. Local Ds are not as crazy as national Ds, but even so, you got some local Democrats here on the Texas border, part of the Sheriff's Association, clamoring that the White House, Washington, declare at least two cartels in Mexico that are shoveling all this poison, all this fentanyl this way, declare them terrorist organizations. Just cut the financial underpinnings, cut their legs to protect America. These gotaways, they're bringing in the drugs. These 530,000 gotaways in the most recent report, they're the ones that are trafficking children and women as sex slaves and bringing in guns and all that crap. He did not answer the question. He's just, you know, doing the dance, doing the kabuki dance. I brought that issue up to Ken Cuccinelli. Ken Cuccinelli? He knows DHS. He helped run DHS under Trump. Conversation with him is coming up next hour of the Dana Show, so stick around. Meantime, I want to share with you a conversation I had this morning, post Title 42, early in the morning. What's going on? Was there a flood of illegals? Yes, no. What's going on? I called my friend Chris over at the Border Patrol Union. Go ahead, Steve. Chris coming in with the Border Patrol Union here in South Texas, checking in with folks on the front lines, Border Patrol, folks on the clock, and what they saw overnight. Now that Title 42 is done, Chris, what are you hearing from the reporting stations? Was there a rush last night, 11 p.m., 12 a.m.? Was there a big rush of people? You know, what do you see? What's going on?
Well, it wasn't a huge rush, but we did see a considerable spike. We saw a considerable bump in people coming across. It wasn't, you know, as feared that it would just be thousands upon thousands crossing at one time, but I know there's people stacked up on the bridge right now. Down here on the river, there's encampments as far as you can see upriver and downriver. Last night there were campfires and music playing, and people were filing through little by little. So,
okay, tell me about the encampments. Well, where are they? And you mentioned an encampment here, the bridge.
Well, the one I'm referring to, I'm in Brownsville right now, okay. and right across from the Texas campus, the college campus, right across from there, there's a huge encampment, probably stretches about maybe 300-400 yards upriver, downriver, and there's tents and little shelters and everything.
Sure.
Yeah, everything you can imagine, bonfires every few feet, and they were having a good old time last night, but they're starting to get moving today now. So
what's the best guesstimate, most educated guesstimate on how many folks are south of the river in Matamoros, south of Brownsville?
Oh, in Matamoros, there's tons. There's tons of people. I was talking to one guy yesterday that crossed, a Colombian gentleman, and he said that there were hundreds upon thousands of Venezuelans. I know in the McAllen area, there's thousands of Haitians between the McAllen IBC area, the Hidalgo area, and Angel Duas. There's thousands of Haitians in that area. So
why have they chosen
everywhere?
Yeah, folks from Haiti, we've been hearing that for weeks now, that they've been stacking up south of McAllen and Reynosa area. Why have the folks from Haiti clustered there?
I have no idea, but they're there. They're in big numbers, so.
Have they been crossing in big numbers, or are they using this app that the government set up for them to put in an asylum claim and then get their hearing at the bridge or bridges in the area? How are they working this? Because they're still there.
Well, I think a lot of them are using that app, and that app's kind of, you know, with the administration, they're telling us if people cross, they're amenable to Title VIII, then they're going to get sent back immediately. Yeah. But there, if you read the fine print, if they've already submitted something in that app, then that no longer applies. So they're playing one against the other. Also, with it being as overcrowded as we are, they're allowed to, we're having to release people just so we can keep up with the flow. So, what they're saying is true, but they're not telling you about the fine print.
Yeah, Chris Gambetta with Border Patrol Union joining us. We're getting a status report on what it's like right now for Border Patrol in reaction to the end of Title 42 and expect a flood of more humanity crossing the border. It's been heavy. Last 24 hours across the entire southwest border, what was it, like 10,000 people that Border Patrol encountered? You guys were able to hold for a while?
Yeah, a little over 10,000. And, you know, one of the numbers that's most surprising to me is between April 1st and now, the Brownsville area has seen well over 35,000 just in a little over a month, just in Brownsville.
How many illegal immigrants, how many are you holding, and where are you holding them nationwide at the moment, Chris?
Oh, there's processing centers popping up everywhere, and then NGOs are taking some after they leave us. I wouldn't even know where to begin to tell you.
I ask you because a few days back there was another report that at one time you had like 20,000 people that were in intake centers and processing.
I think there was 25,000 in custody. I don't know what that number is today. I'm sure it's probably higher than that. I don't see how it could get lower.
Chris Cavendera with the Border Patrol Union. Okay, Mexico, Central America, all this. They keep saying these reports I see in Spanish media. There's more people on the way. What does intel tell you? How many are headed this way? Where they're coming from? What's the latest reports that you've gleaned?
Well, you know, I've heard that the president of Guatemala said something around 80,000 are headed this way from various Central and South American countries. I know in the McAllen area we have between 30 and 40 south of us. Brownsville the same way. I think every, Juarez, the same thing. Del Rio, Eagle Pass. I think everywhere you go, there's big numbers waiting to cross. And if you think about it, you know, with all the resources we have, with the state of Texas and federal government combined, we can't get a handle on people turning themselves in. So what does that tell you as far as people trying to escape? We haven't got a chance.
And we see the video. We see the picture. We have people posting all over the place. Lord knows how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are stacked downtown Brownsville right now. What can you tell me about other processing centers like Ansel Duas? You got downtown McAllen. You got south of Donna. Are they all at capacity?
Yeah, they're starting to fill up. And the one at Ansel Duas, that's just a temporary pass-through facilities. But that one's starting to fill up. Our stations are filling up. Everything's filling up. We can't bail the water out. It's coming in the boat too quickly. So we're slowly sinking, but we're going to do our best. As far as Border Patrol, and I would imagine DPS the same way, we're going to do our best, the best of what we have. We just wish that we had more to work with.
Chris Cabrera, Border Patrol Union, we're assessing what's taking place as far as all the intake, all these folks, thousands crossing illegally on a daily basis. Title 42 has come to an end. So explain to listeners, border policy, enforcement policy, how is it different right now compared to 24 hours ago? What tools are at your disposal? This Title 8 thing versus Title 42. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Is anybody going to be sent back, or are you under orders to just release everyone you encounter? What's different right now than
before? Title 42 was pandemic era where you, in a sense, you waited in Mexico until your case got adjudicated. Now with Title 8, Title 8 is something we've always had. And it's just, you know, the regular rules, how it's always been. But Title 42 kind of made it a little more stringent, a little more strict. There were certain things we could and couldn't do, but it made our job a little bit easier. Yeah, with Title 8, it's nothing new to us. But unfortunately, with the overflow, with the amount of people we have coming, we don't have the facilities. So unfortunately, a lot of people are going to get let go. Obviously, we're not letting unaccompanied children
but
go anywhere.
But DHS Secretary Mayorkas said that these people would be sent back, that there would be consequences if they cross illegally and all that jazz.
Well, again, he's not telling you about the fine print. He's not telling you about the fine print that if they've already signed up on the app, that doesn't apply. Or if we're at capacity, that doesn't apply. So there's a lot of things that he said that are factually true, but he didn't tell you, like, what was it, Mr. Harvey, and the rest of the story. He didn't tell you the rest of it. He just told you the highlights, the Cliff Notes version that he wanted you to hear, but he didn't give you the rest of it.
Let me see if I understand. Okay, let me throw it back at you. This app thing, folks that wish to hop aboard and get on the radar as far as an asylum request, they do it through the app. If they cross illegally into the U.S., they're processed by Border Patrol. Chances are they will be released into the country because, hey, you guys already did the app. Okay, so go into the country, wait in line, and we'll call you in the future to go to court, right? Is that the way it's working out?
Yeah.
How many people do we have in immigration courts right now? Like 2 million?
Probably more. Yeah. They need to come up with a feasible solution. They need to put everything on the table. I mean, this needs to get out of the political spectrum. We just need to do what's right, not just for our country, but for the people that are trying to cross. There's a lot of innocent women and children that are being exploited in this, and we just need to do the right thing for the right reasons, not for political reasons.
Yeah, and those exploiting them, the cartels making billions upon billions of dollars and fleecing these people. Thank you, Chris. Be safe out there, you and all the gang at Border Patrol. Chris Cabrera with the Border Patrol Union. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana. Reporting to you from her southern command on the Texas-Mexico border in the RGV of Texas. That's right, little KURV going national today. I ask myself often, how bad does it need to get to finally wake up Democrats? Thank you, Steve, for all the wonderful audio. I got to play this one right before we go to break. It's Cut 16. This is Hakeem. He's not a dream. This guy's a nightmare. Hakeem Jeffries, lockstep with Democrat leadership. He is Democrat leadership. Locks up with all other Democrats. Hey, nothing to see here. No problem. No passing out. Go ahead.
As is often the case with my extreme MAGA Republican colleagues, they create a fictional argument around what's happening at the border and then actually do nothing to solve the real problem. And that is exactly what the Child Deportation Act is all about.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, for Hakeem, he's not the dream. Hakeem the nightmare, Jeffries. You know, the problem is that we have a border. The problem is that we have Border Patrol. The problem is that we have ICE. The problem, all the law enforcement, that's the problem. There should be no border. That's the way. When he says stuff like this, that's what I hear. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash. We're reporting to you from South Texas, the opposite side where she's in North Texas. I'm in South Texas. You want to say hi online, go to Twitter. Let's give our neighbor here in Brazil, Elon Musk, let's give him some support for his Twitter product. Say hi online at Sergio Talk. This is the Dana Show.
Summer is almost here, and Good Ranchers wants to give you what you've been craving, a beautiful, tasty steak for the grill. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. I like how everything comes vacuum sealed and it all tastes great. Every cut is sourced from local American farms and is hand-cut, trimmed, and aged to perfection. Good Ranchers is proud to be your trusted source for high-quality all-American meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and pick your box. They have ribeye, New York strip, all-natural burgers, and all the delicious chicken you could ever want. Plus, it's all $30 off with my code DANA. This is the perfect time of year to easily change the way you buy meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use my code DANA for $30 off of any box and make this summer one to remember with American meat delivered right to your door from GoodRanchers.com. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. Use my code DANA for $30 off at GoodRanchers.com today.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Appreciate you joining us today. This is the Dana Show from the Dana Show Southern Command in South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and I appreciate you joining us today. You want to say hi on email? It's Sergio at KURV.com, proud affiliate of the Dana Show. Got a little bit of bad news closing out this hour for you. Hey, just in time for summer vacation travel. Check this out from Dallas. Southwest Airlines announcing Southwest Airlines pilots authorizing a strike. Come on, man. What's the matter with you people? Airlines Pilots Union said yesterday members have approved a strike. Overwhelming majority ahead of the busy summer holiday. Man, you know, man, when they say they got you by the you-know-what's, absolutely. Summer travel season, and after the mess during that Christmas debacle, the computers melting, all that, the Pilots Association, Southwest Airlines, 10,000 pilots, 99% said they favor the strike. Oh, I hope they can avert this, because I'd actually looked at Southwest, a few flights. Now, yeah, looks, hey, mama, I'm talking to my wife right now. Looks like we're going to do a road trip this year, just to make sure we have reliable transportation. And in the event that you listen to this podcast or listen to the Dana Show, like live, congratulations for you listening live today. Thank you to all the PDs out there being smart, putting the number one national show at noon to 3 Eastern right here. It's the Dana Show. But if you hear a recording of this on Saturday, it's National Association of Letter Carriers conducting their Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive. Leave a can of food out there outside for the letter carrier on Saturday. From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is the Dana Show.
Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Starting tomorrow, every migrant encountered by border agents will have to go through a much longer processing procedure. That is expected to cause a serious backlog, not to mention much more illegal immigration. In recent days, the U.S. has already seen a huge jump in migrants. A Homeland Security official says border authorities encountered more than 10,000 migrants along the border yesterday, already surpassing government estimates. On the other side of the border, U.S. officials estimate that more than 150,000 migrants are currently camping out in northern Mexico, just waiting for the policy to officially end in a few hours.
All right. That is fake news. You going to believe him? Jake, the snake tapper over at CNN. Yeah, his number is probably close to reality. And if it's not 150K from, you know, south of San Diego, Tijuana, all the way to El Paso, Ciudad Juarez, and Laredo, Rio Grande Valley, south of Arizona. If it's not there already, it sure will be there. Because if you heard last hour of the Dana Show, which you're listening to right now, I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. You heard last hour, yeah, there's Chris Cabrera from Border Patrol telling us, you know, his intel and folks at Border Patrol, other federal officials watching this because they're looking down the road. 80,000 plus, maybe. They're still traveling from Central America, crossing into Mexico, headed this way. Yeah, thousands more to be soon processed. While the numbers grow exponentially by the tens of thousands of illegals hoping to cross and stay, Border Patrol is limited in its number. Yeah, that longer process he's talking about ain't going to happen. That thing ain't going to happen. Look, their efforts underway. Their war, there was an NBC news report, exclusive report a few days back, mentioning that Border Patrol had been told, folks on the front line have been told, just release them. You can't handle anymore. You can't hold anymore. You can't process anymore. All the centers are full. All the NGOs, the non-government organization centers, all the holding facilities, all the hotels, they're all full. Just let them go. Let them go. Just no parole, no nothing. Just bye. Good to see you. Here's a, I don't even know if they're going to give them a bottle of water, but just let them go. So in an effort to prevent that, as you heard, probably top of the hour news was an effort out of Florida, just saying that no, you cannot release these illegal immigrants just willy-nilly, just let them go. It would be the same thing as, if think about it, it'd be the same thing as a getaway, right? Like, why even bother? That was the directive to some of these Border Patrol agents. Say hi to them, hold them, and then let them go? Well, just let them go. There'd be getaways. A federal judge in Florida saying, no, this mass release of illegals into the country without any court dates. That's a very harmful ruling, said Alejandro Mayorkas, as the clown show continues up in D.C. That is cut two. Steve, I'll play that one, what Mayorkas said. Yep.
Judge, yesterday ruled or stripped your ability to release migrants without court dates. First, do you plan to appeal that ruling?
It's a very harmful ruling, and the Department of Justice is considering our options.
Harmful, again, for whom? Well, it's obvious, right? It's for the illegals. Because if you can't let them go quickly, as they want to be let go, without a court date, it's harmful for the illegals. Not harmful to our country. It's harmful to the illegals. Now, whose side are you on, Vato? It's pretty obvious. They're on there. So I want to say thank you to my brother Sugar Kane, producer Kane. He sent me a quick picture. It's a picture of some of these processing forms Border Patrol's giving some of these illegals. Multiple, and I'll put in air quotes, migrants within the same group receiving court dates from 2026 and 2027. Amigo, they ain't making those court dates. And I bet you there's other people getting paperwork for court dates way after that, probably into the 2030s by now. Think about it this way. I mean, how many, like, at your big business, let's say you got a medium-sized or a big business and you need to run a whole bunch of copies. Let's say you're a university and you got all these finals that you need to print or all these, all these documents that you need to print or a book. Yesterday, Border Patrol, and these are the people that they encountered, 10,000 people, 10,000 human beings, illegal immigrants. Can you imagine in the back of a Border Patrol SUV, boxes upon boxes and boxes of copies that they ran back at HQ? They're probably going over to Office Depot, Staples, local office supply place, buying up all the paper stacks that they can to run copies of these court hearing date things, especially now that the Florida judge said, no, you can't release them without a court date. You got to give them a piece of paperwork before you let them into the country. That's 10,000 copies that had to be produced yesterday, 10,000 the day before, 10,000 the day before, and so on and so forth. Man, we can't cut down enough trees to produce enough copies for all these pieces of paper that have to be given to illegal immigrants. We are to that point right now. It's that crazy. The clown show continues. The lie continues up in D.C. And yet again, here comes from the center ring, the lead clown, Alejandro Mayorkas, doing the absolute menorcas, minimum possible, to enforce immigration law. Oh, and here's a new claim. Oh, this is rich. Check this out. The gall of these people. Cut nine, Steele. Go ahead, play cut nine.
We sought to end Title 42, the Public Health Authority, earlier. We sought to roll out our immigration enforcement authorities under Title 8 of the United States Code earlier. We were enjoined from doing so by a court.
Okay. So you're saying you were hoping to make a bigger mess months ago as compared to, like, making the claim that Joe Biden wanted to be tougher on illegal immigration during the first many months, a couple of years that he's been in office. But, it's the courts that stopped him. And it's Joe Biden who, literally, I think it was probably like his first, one, if not the first, or one of the first executive orders was to do a complete 180 from the secure border that President Donald Trump provided us. Yes, I know it was COVID season, but enforce border law and kick people out and make sure that they wait in, for example, Mexico and Mexico, where the state is, it's supposed to host asylum seekers. Now they don't have to worry about it. AMLO in Mexico City, Man, that's the U.S. problem. That's their problem. Just let them go through. Mexico City is giving temporary visas, 45-day visas, for travelers coming into their country from their southern border with Central America. In essence, telling you got 45 days to travel through our country and leave our country. You think Mexico is going to put up with hosting, swallowing, absorbing all these folks? Absolutely not. Thank goodness. Thanks to a friend, a fellow broadcaster here at our affiliate, Dana affiliate, KURV in South Texas. I lovingly refer to him as my radio son. I call him an evil radio genius, Zach. I've decided to name this day Dia de la Migra. Happy Dia de la Migra. And you know the term, Migra la Migra, right? Migra is the term that's used by illegal immigrants to shout at each other, say, hey, look, here comes Border Patrol. It's la Migra. And I use this term that some... It has nothing to do with illegal immigrants, okay? It doesn't refer to illegal immigrants. It doesn't name or disparage illegal immigrants in any way. They're the ones who use the term migra to refer to the folks that are super stressed, under fire, that are probably questioning why they're doing this for a living. They maybe didn't chose a different line of profession. It's my friends at Border Patrol. Now that Title 42 is gone, and we got Border Patrol swimming in people and processing centers and trying to keep up with all the paperwork. Like, as I told you, running tens of thousands of copies of some of this immigration paperwork that they need to hand to every single one of the illegals who they caught or they processed or came over to them to surrender to say, hey, we'd like a piece of paper for a court hearing. All these people that are super stressed, la migra. I put that term on you, amigos, as a badge of honor. This is your day. I recognize you, hardworking Border Patrol all across our nation. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for trying best you can to enforce law in our country, border law, to enforce a border, to recognize a border, to push back against illegal activity at the border. I know you're distracted right now with tens of thousands of people that are crossing illegally. And yes, our nation is not secure because I know you see them. You see those getaways downriver making a run for the border and getting away with drugs and human sex slaves and all that. Lord bless you guys at Border Patrol. Hang in there. Hang in there. There's nothing we can do short of perhaps overnight America waking up and all the mushy political middle starting to call all their congresspeople and senators and threaten them to get their butts back to their districts, send them home in the next election cycle. All those Democrat senators that are vulnerable come 2024, put to rest any concern from the turtle Mitch McConnell. Maybe they'll drop the ball this go around just like they did in the midterm. No, you guys wake up. You guys who love America, want to preserve America, you wake up and you tell your lawmakers up in D.C., you need to do your job. One issue at a time, piecemeal. Get the resources necessary on the border for Border Patrol. Shut down the border to illegal migration. Pass laws that will permanently penalize anybody that crosses the border illegally and communicate that to the world. You cross the border illegally, you won't be able to come back. You won't get citizenship. You won't get residency. You won't get any of that. We are serious about controlling a border, but it's the lawmakers that need to do that to make sure to solidify law and to redefine what the courts have twisted and perverted, which is asylum rules and asylum laws in this country. It's up to the lawmakers in D.C. To my Border Patrol family, I celebrate you today. Happy Dia de la Migra. Thank you for what you do, amigos. Let me get to other news real quick. So I'm going to share with you a little later on this hour and this segment. Well, not this segment, this hour, which is hour two. Ken Cuccinelli. Ken Cuccinelli, he was the leader over DHS under the Trump administration. He knows what was going on. And I asked him, again, I just opined on what Texas is doing and what I think Texas should be doing. And, of course, the dangers of all the gotaways. Meantime, I saw this in the news stack. I want to share with you from today's news. Because, you know, the big news of the week, another big story, is, of course, the House Oversight Committee and James Comer and showing bank records and financial transactions for Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, the Biden clan, everybody, all these Bidens making money, selling America. The investigation continuing into Joe Biden and influence peddling and selling America and all these backdoor deals, millions of dollars. And this is just the initial round, $10 million. Anybody pay taxes on those? Claim where they came from? Investigation continues. Which, by the way, embarrassingly, no coverage. And I know there was no coverage. Immediately in the hours that this oversight committee was broadcasting all the bank records that they would never get from Joe Biden, so they had to go to the other sources, the participants, the third-party groups, the third-party people, the business partners, get the bank records for them. Way to go, Mr. Comer. Appreciate you, what you're doing. Keep working. Keep working hard, because we need those charges against Biden and his ilk and his family. But on Wednesday when this came out, I was driving Texas. I was taking my son, my CF son, up to the San Antonio clinic. And there I am. I'm looking, listening online, on the radio, picking up all the frequencies. Dallas news radio, talk radio stations. Houston, same thing. San Antonio, you know, the big news talkers there as well. There was only one. There were two stations, one out of Houston, one out of San Antonio, that broadcast everything live, but only one continued talking about it. Dana Show affiliate KTSA 550. Trey Ware and Sean Ryman, bless you guys for picking up the ball and running with it, even in the newscast, top and bottom of the hour. The rest of the media, they were all distracted by some irrelevant Congress dude with legal troubles out of New York. I don't give a flip about that, but I know you're trying to distract me with a puppet over here. We're getting smarter. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. We're broadcasting today from South Texas.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A meeting on the debt ceiling up in D.C. between the president and all congressional leaders. Yeah, that was postponed today. What you boys waiting for? There's no progress in talk. Top Pentagon chief saying that this whole debt ceiling mess might benefit America's biggest adversary. Who dat? Well, yeah, that'd be Joe Biden family, their biggest foreign client. Yeah. China. Weaken our military strength in them. Hey, stick around. I got conversations with former DHS Secretary under Trump, Ken Cuccinelli, asking about what the Texas response should be. And stick around, because Sarah Carter, our podcaster, Sarah Carter, was at the border taking a look at the mess down here. So you stick around. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Thanks for joining us.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me ask you something. What rate of illegal immigration did we have in 2020? Do you know anything? I asked you a question.
How long have you been in
office? Do you know anything?
How long have you been in office?
I've been in office 11 years
yes,
now.
And this has been
okay.
kicked the count under multiple administrations.
Except your... Okay, you don't get to argue with me. You asked your question. You want to hold a press conference, you can do it over there. So hold on. I'm going to answer his question. The talking point of the Democrats, which this media reporter happily parrots, is, gosh, the problem can't be fixed. There's one little problem with that. It is an utter and complete lie. In 2020, yes. The last year of the Trump presidency, we had the lowest rate of illegal immigration in 45 years. You ask, what have I done? I've championed the men and women of Border Patrol. I've championed securing the border. I've championed Remain in Mexico. And we turned this problem around and solved it. And we went from Joe Biden inherited the lowest rate of illegal immigration in 45 years. And the first day in office, he made political decisions yes. to cause this problem. And you should be ashamed of yourself, because you're a reporter and you're not reporting facts. You're telling lies. Joe Biden made a political decision.
Yeah, beautiful. Attaboy, Ted. I love it. I'd stand up and give you a round of applause right now. Standing up, but I disconnect my headphones. That's Ted Cruz, eviscerating, shredding a reporter, trying to carry water for Joe Biden and the Democrats. We will never, ever, ever, likely never get to zero illegal immigration. But, man, we can do a hell of a lot better than the open border that we have right now. And under Donald Trump, man, we could do 90, 95, 97, 98, 99%. If we put in place mechanisms and systems in our country to dissuade, discourage illegals from coming here, you won't be getting public housing. well, you're in line for your asylum request. You wait where, at the point where you're at. You won't be getting food stamps. You won't be getting public education. All the federally funded, taxpayer funded, and future taxpayer or grandchildren funded, all these programs, no, that doesn't work that way. Man, you get rid of that? Absolutely. Man, you can see illegal immigration drop through the floor. That was beautiful. Ted Cruz, my goodness. And yeah, sometimes people don't like his, he gets all passionate. But amigo, seriously, if you are not passionate about your country, you're not passionate about your home, you're not passionate about defending America, Lord help us. Lord help us all. You need to be passionate. You need to find in you the determination and the fire to do something about this. At the moment, we have Washington, D.C. under arrest by a bunch of leftists and radicals and apologists for all radicals and anything left. That's called the Democrat Party. And a bunch of noodle-spine Republicans right behind them doing the same thing. Oh, we need to be merciful. We need to respect human dignity. They don't respect us. No, sir. We need a border, and we need to enforce that border. Welcome to the Dana Show, amigo. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and from my friend Dana Lash. I got comments from a conversation I had with former DHS Secretary under the Trump administration, Ken Cuccinelli. And I'll share that comment, that conversation with you in just a little bit. We're looking at what I would hope and pray would be the appropriate Texas response. Now, a letter has already been written by Governor Greg Abbott stating that we're being invaded. The federal government has failed in its response. And we are invoking our constitutional right to protect our border. Okay, let's do something about it. More than just special teams here and there. I hate to be critical of a friend, but we need leadership. There's a leadership vacuum in D.C. that's leading to this mess. We need leadership in Austin. Stand up, because we need that fight. We need to wake up the rest of America, because there's an election around the corner. And the American people need to know what they're voting for, because I don't think they were paying attention back in 2020. I know a whole bunch of ballot boxes got stuffed in certain key areas, in certain districts, in certain cities and inner cities. I know. And, of course, it doesn't take very much under a COVID situation to flip an election. I'm amenable to all that. I got you. All that ballot stuffing, 81 million plus voters for Biden. Yeah, right. But right now, it is what it is. And he's there. And he's driving us into the ditch. And Texas, Austin, Governor Abbott, you need to stand up. So that conversation coming up in just a little bit. Of course, this broadcast of the Dana Show, coming to you from South Texas, the Dana Show Southern Command, is on Friday. And I know some of y'all, the affiliates out there, you guys play the show on Saturday and Sunday. I want to say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my best friend, my lover. I love you, Delia. Happy Mother's Day to my wife. She's a really good mom, loving mom. But she likes to chiflat. She likes to spoil her boys. So I get in there, you know, I'm the discipline. I'll do my own type of spoiling. Happy Mother's Day, Dana. Lord bless you, Dana, for everything that you do. I know you're a great mom, and you protect your boys. I've made the mistake a long time ago to put my boys' pictures online, but then I'm not a national TV or a radio host who's under threat, under fire all the time, being threatened by leftist kooks out there who want to hurt our family. Oh, God forbid. Lord bless you, Dana. Happy Mother's Day, and you had a good mom. I was blessed to have a good mother-in-law, a wonderful mother-in-law. You've listened long enough, you know that my mom had, like, dementia issues starting about 20 years ago. So I kind of lost my mom a long time ago to the whole dementia and memory thing. My precious mom-in-law stepped in. I lost my mom-in-law during COVID in 2020. That was a very bad Christmas, very sad Christmas. My mom, physically, the final physical expression of mom, the Lord took her home this past December, and I had a really, really good mom as a boy, as a child, as a teenager. I was able to talk about anything, everything with my mother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for my mom. Happy Mother's Day. Got about 19 minutes left in this hour. I want to share with you some audio I had, a conversation I had with Ken Cuccinelli. At one time, he was in charge of Department of Homeland Security that has no leadership, nothing but liars and people giving excuses. go ahead, Steve. Under the Trump administration, he helped with Homeland Security issues. He was our secretary there for a while. Ken Cuccinelli is my guest. You know what I find it amazing, Ken? It's just a bold-faced lie from the director right now at Homeland Security, just every day. And the mouthpiece over at the White House. And Joe Biden, all these people saying the border is secure, that the border is not open. And I see their mouths flapping, and then I see all these pictures of all these thousands of people, thousands of people crossing illegally every single day. We're lost, brother.
Reminds me of Princess Bride. You keep saying that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. Yeah.
Man, there's no hope to turn this around, brother. There's nothing we can do. We're just sitting here on the sidelines impotently watching our border being invaded.
Well, that's true, but, well, it's mostly true. For the first time, Greg Abbott appears to have actually ordered Texas officials to turn people back at the border, to repel them at the river, and he's had the authority to do this all along, but this is the first time he appears to be doing it, at least in the Rio Grande Valley. It's hard for me to have a complete picture because I'm relying on spot reports, but the federal government certainly isn't protecting you under Joe Biden, and let's not forget, this is not a mistake to Joe Biden. This is intentional policy. What you see is the goal. Their only concern is optics, not security. And if you want a secure border, it isn't enough to elect some Republicans. I mean, it took 2 years for Greg Abbott to finally start protecting your border. And even that, I think he's doing it, but you heard how iffy I was. It's hard to figure out yet. But we've got 22 more months, 21 more months. Joe Biden in the White House. So, it's going to be up to the states if anything's going to happen. So it's good to see Texas doing something this week, but it's pretty bad down there.
Yeah,
it's
God very, love it. Very bad. Yeah, Greg Abbott, God love it. He sent out that letter, that strongly worded letter. Well, I've commented plenty about this. I think Texas can do and should do more. To the level of what it was over in Del Rio many months back when we had the flood of folks coming in from Haiti. And DPS set up a wall of DPS SUVs on the river. And they were telling people, go back, go back. I know Texas has a fleet of boats that we could put on the river to repel people right now.
Yep.
It needs to be to that level so that the dinosaur media, ABC, CBS, NBC, even they get off their lazy butts, bring the cameras down here and say, look, it's Texas versus Biden. It's Abbott versus Biden. That's what we need for the American midsection, the left coast, and the east coast to finally wake up and see. Because at the moment, we only have certain so-called sanctuary communities, Washington, D.C., New York, Philadelphia, Chicago. They're the ones whining and complaining. They no longer have any more room for illegal immigrants. Well, you got more on the way thanks to the Greg Abbott charter buses, but the media needs to wake up because I think the American electorate, they're still asleep at the switch. I cannot believe they voted this guy in. They protected him by sending back a bunch of Democrats that are open border-minded to Washington, D.C. We need that fight, and Texas needs to be the front line of that battle. I wish Greg Abbott would do a lot more than what he's doing right now.
Yeah, I do too. All I would say is I've been saying that for 2 years, and this week he started to do more than he has before. There's still more room, as you note. But I would also say this morning I went out and called on other governors. Since he's actually repelling people at the river, I called on other governors. If he's going to do that, you should send troops and law enforcement to be deputized in Texas, basically under the condition that that's what they'll be used for. Let's do the job that the federal government refuses to do. It can be done by the states. It can be done.
From a federal perspective that you worked at in that lofty perch a long time ago, what would you expect would be the Biden administration's reaction in courts or any other administrative action? What do you think he would do if Greg Abbott actually were to enforce capture and return, take them to the bridges, return.
It puts them in a very difficult position. What are they going to do? Sue? If they sue, they either have to argue we're not being invaded. That's one, because that would erase Abbott's authority under the Constitution if we weren't being invaded, but of course we are. Or second, They'd have to come up with some other excuse. And arguing that we're not being invaded is just not a tenable argument to make. I mean, you know, you don't need to have gone to law school to see what's happening at the border, right? So they don't have a lot of room to maneuver here. And if I'm Texas, when they accuse me of enforcing immigration law, I say, I'm not enforcing immigration law. I'm protecting my borders. This is a matter of sovereignty and the use of war powers and under the Constitution. So it's Texas in a very strong legal position if the federal government wants to try to stop them from doing this.
Somebody please tell my friend Greg Abbott to take the next step. We can't survive 21 months more of this craziness. And tens of thousands of more so-called migrants, future illegal immigrants, they're on their way, man. We get all these reports from Border Patrol. Yeah. They're crossing from Central America through Mexico. They are on their way. And another year and a half of this, no, it's untenable. Former Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security under the Trump administration, Ken Cuccinelli. Be safe, brother.
This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash, and we're broadcasting from right here at the U.S.-Mexican border. McAllen, Texas, RGV of Texas. So proud to be coming to you from the Dana Show Southern Command on this, of all days, right? End of Title 42, I'm sorry. And looking at this Biden border mess, which is being shipped out of state. It's going up to Washington, D.C. It's going up to Chicago. And speaking of, I know it was one of those guys. Ah, here it is. Here it is. Steve-O, cut 20. Go ahead.
What's important is that we really establish that this is a humanitarian crisis, and we're here.
South Shore residents responded with resounding rejection.
While this crisis may constitute an emergency for the city of Chicago, it does not constitute an emergency for the South Shore community.
Incoming migrants have overwhelmed district police stations by the hundreds.
It's my turn. It's my turn. Hello.
But city leaders could barely eke out a word of the details about a proposed respite center at the former South Shore High School.
When it comes to the total number of people at South Shore at any given point in time, it is fluid. We'd start with 250, 500.
How could you do that without consulting us?
I am concerned with safety.
You know, at some point, I have faith in my family. Letta Lincoln, I have faith in you, Illinois. I have faith. I said earlier, I have faith in you, California. You guys up in New York? I still have faith in y'all. At some point, you're going to connect the dots. All these Democrats, you're wagging a finger to. They're saying, it's a crisis. Yeah, not in our backyard. You say, well, congratulations for voting Democrat. For all these Democrats, open border Democrats, apologists for the National Party. Stop voting for Democrats. My goodness. New York City Mayor Eric Adams pushing the illegal immigrant problem arriving at his city to neighboring counties. Guess what? Those neighboring counties, they're pushing back. We don't want any of these folks over there. Lori Lightfoot up in Chicago saying, we're full. No more illegals. Oh, you guys batting down the hatches. You got more on the way. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You want to say hi online? It's at Sergio Talk on Twitter. Thanks for joining us on The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This note from Fort Myers, Florida. 23-year-old genius who decided to throw fireworks at a police officer and ran off in his vehicle. After a really short investigation, other authorities were able to track him down because there was a police officer at an airport that noted that this guy, his vehicle, the license tag, the Florida license tag, it said, send nudes. And on his vehicle, it had a vinyl wrap that said, fearless. Well, they can be fearless in jail now for assaulting a police officer. Hey, stick around. I've got Sarah Carter, real deal journalist, investigative journalist, Sarah Carter, at the border. And she's going to tell us what she saw. That's coming up next hour of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Thanks for joining us today.
Una pregunta. ¿Usted estaba enterado del título 42 y que iban a abrir la frontera? Were you aware of Title 42?
Sí.
Sí, y por eso viniste. Yeah, that's why you came here.
Sí. Y queríamos pasar antes del 11 porque se recuerda que no iban a dejar más pasar más gente.
He said he wanted to get here. He wanted to make sure to get here before the cutoff of before Title 42 ended. But he was well aware. Gracias por platicar con nosotros. Thank you. Y suerte con tu viaje. Good luck with your journey here.
Yeah, that's CNN, by the way. That's audio from CNN talking with an illegal immigrant about Title 42 coming to an end and why this individual decided to get here as quickly as possible, wanted to get in before the end of Title 42. Yeah, you thought I squeezed in some Spanish lingo, right? Because we're broadcasting from the Dana Show Southern Command. Welcome to Hour 3 of the program. And actually, on the podcast, which I strongly encourage that you check in, and all these multiple platforms, the audio is about an hour, 45 minutes of the Dana Show on a regular basis. Producer Steve and the gang, they do an awesome job. They condense everything. Right now, it's hour three of the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, broadcasting from the Dana Show Southern Command right here. It's very appropriate that we should be broadcasting from the U.S.-Mexican border. We didn't shift gears because of this. Dana already had kind of a day off, but, you know, universal forces, God Almighty, he kind of steered everything. He said, well, we're doing the Dana Show from South Texas with Sergio from KURV South Texas. So there you go. So, yeah, that's one of the big stories of the day. And stick around because Sarah Carter, investigative journalist extraordinaire, real deal journalist, or my friend Sarah Carter, she was snooping around here on the border, El Paso, West. Actually, I'm going to figure out where she was. I know she was doing a lot of border tours. She's good friends with many people on the front lines of Border Patrol. So she'll be reporting to us live in just a little bit, around the 35 minutes after the hour segment. And we'll be talking about a new podcast that she just uploaded that deals with all this Biden border mess that we have right now, which is likely to get real complicated. By the way, in case you haven't seen this, we have like really nasty, nasty storms crossing Texas at like the wrong time for some of these people that are stuck, that are staged at Mexico or maybe might even be in ranch country. They got some nasty, nasty storms in the forecast for Saturday. Some of y'all might be listening to a recorded version of the Dana Show on Saturday. Nasty storms, central Texas, hill country. Boy, when the waters rise there, they get very dangerous. West Texas, San Angelo, Lubbock, that's a panhandle. Here in South Texas, we're seeing the same. Laredo, all those areas. So just a heads up, if you're traveling to Texas, namely San Antonio and Austin, that's going to be a trouble spot on Saturday and into Sunday. Here in hour three of the program, one of these stories rolling out there right now that under the Biden administration, his Department of Homeland Security has announced that, and you will notice the initial reports on this, that a migrant child has died. You probably heard it top of the hour. You guys that are thankfully carrying the Dana Show, top show, noon to 3 Eastern, the Dana Show, carry it live. Dana does an awesome job doing play-by-play of all the breaking news. She'll get some live audio if necessary. Dana, take care of you. And I'll take care of Dennis as often as we can and other friends when she needs to have a day off. But the big news right now is that a migrant child has died. Now, I don't mean to diminish the pain and anguish of his family. It's a 17-year-old young man. Like, when you hear the word migrant child dies, like, what would be the range, you think, like from baby to what? Maybe preteen, like 10, 11, 12, a child, maybe? Maybe even teenagers, right? A child, 13. We'll see. By that time, when they hit 13 and they all stinky and, you know, they smell like chili and they're all going through puberty, yeah, you the proper term for news write-ups, and this is for all the news directors and assignment editors and all the people at the news radio station, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Dana Show affiliates, please do me a favor, amigo. Please don't manipulate our emotions. Please don't manipulate. Our audience is our audience on news radio, talk radio, where Dana is on affiliates nationwide. Our audience is smarter than the average radio listening bear, and they know when you're gaming them.
You're manipulating them. Can you please stop? Look, on the federal government side, Department of Homeland Security and the Biden administration and the White House announcing a child died while in U.S. immigration custody. A child died. Migrant child. It's not a child. It's a 17-year-old young adult. If it's, let's say, the age 13 to 16, then, because I would even refer to a 16-year-old as a young adult. Because after all, wasn't it the Democrats who were pushing for giving 16-year-olds voting rights in this country? Some crazy Democrats out there. All these leftists, all these radicals, let's call them who they are. They're a bunch of Democrats, crazy Democrat leftists. They want to give a 16-year-old voting rights because, you know, that gray matter really hasn't gelled between their ears yet. I mean, they're very, you know, they're malleable and can be influenced real easy to do stupid stuff, like taking those little detergent pods and swallowing those and put video of that online, or swallowing a spoonful of cinnamon. They can vote Democrat. You can influence them to vote Democrat because they're very impressionable. They're malleable. Yeah, the 16-year-old. The Democrats want 16-year-olds to vote. So I'd say young adult. A 16-year-old young adult at 17. Teenagers? 13 to 15. A child? I'd say, like let's say at your local movie house. Who gets in for free or at a discount, right? Discounted ticket, right? 12 and under, right? That's a child. 12 and under is a child. So they're out there in media, and it all begins at the Biden White House. It all begins with Immigration Service or anybody with an agenda to manipulate the way that you think, try to pull at your heartstrings, or fool you into making an argument against, you know, Republicans or making, or anybody who's wanting border enforcement. This child should not be in custody. It ain't a child. It's a 17-year-old young man. And, you know, hence the open border. Anyway, so just one of the stories for this hour. Let me try to clear other stuff. We got, again, Sarah Carter joining us in just a little bit. This very important note. This dovetails with the story from earlier this week, the big story, and that did not get the necessary coverage from top and bottom of the hour, news directors and news anchors nationwide at radio stations, talk radio stations, news radio stations nationwide, and even in the national press of Dinosaur Media, the House Oversight Committee, and all the very suspicious financial transactions to benefiting the Biden family, the Biden clan. But it pays to be a Biden, big time, millions and millions of dollars. And that's just on the initial bank records that they were not obtained from the Bidens. They were obtained from, you know, the business partners and the third-party individuals who were doing some business on behalf of the Biden family and getting rich, selling the U.S. to China. Now, in his quest for more truth, more information, House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer going to the FBI and has been rejected. The FBI rejecting a request from James Comer and other congressional representatives, investigators, hoping to provide access to law enforcement documents that lawmakers say might link Joe Biden to a criminal scheme that the FBI is looking at. James Comer, Republican, House Oversight Committee, again, providing all the information, the bank details, bank deposits for all the Biden clan. Now, you could easily say how America is being sold to the Chinese, sold to foreign governments. All this influence peddling, all this influence selling on the part of Joe Biden as vice president. Keep the investigation going, amigos. You need to pin this guy down. So James Comer goes to the FBI asking for some documents, some law enforcement documents, what they're looking at when it comes to a criminal scheme involving Joe Biden. All this was a response to what came across James Comer's desk, a whistleblower. The whistleblower was making claims that this document that shows a criminal scheme on the part of Biden and his crew, this document that is in possession of the FBI, describes a scheme involving then Vice President Joe Biden and a foreign national, and all this relates to the exchange of money. Exchange of money for making decisions. Quid pro quo.
The same damn excuse that they use against Donald Trump, that the FBI is supposedly, according to a whistleblower, the FBI is sitting on quid pro quo evidence. And James Comer, over at the U.S. House, the Oversight Committee, he wants that. The FBI said no. The FBI say that they're bound by policy, strictly limits when, how confidential information can be provided, blah, 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 blah. All I know is it's the U.S. House of Representatives representing whom? Representing you, representing the American people, right? At least some of us. So who works for whom? Last I checked, I thought it was the U.S. House of Representatives that had a hold, they had possession of the purse strings for the FBI budget. So anyway, just the latest in this continuing investigation into these criminal schemes, as they say, and there's this whistleblower providing information that the FBI is sitting on information related to Joe Biden as vice president, selling quid pro quo information for policy decisions. Stay tuned for the latest. Oh my goodness, so much information today. I'm looking for other stuff. Oh, here it is. I mentioned earlier that some crazy Democrats, they want 16-year-olds to vote because, you know, the stuff between their brains, between their ears, all that gray matter still hasn't gelled, so they can be easily influenced. This was fascinating. I found this on the other side. His name is Vivek. I always screw up his last name. Dana interviewed him a few days ago. He's running for president. This guy's a rock star. He's got a head full of liberty ideas. I love this guy. Vivek Ramaswamy. I hope I said his name right. You'll find plenty of him postings of him online. He's floating the idea of raising the voting age to 25. Amigo, I'm there with you, but you just open up Pandora's box, man. Can you imagine? Look, at 25, yes, individuals would be a lot more seasoned, matured, hopefully responsible, hopefully matured. But he says 25 should be the voting age, the legal voting age in our country, up from, of course, 18, which, as I said, it opens up all sorts of issues. Then should we raise the voting age, the selective service requirement to 25? How about joining the military? Should that be 25? Working certain jobs, right? Should that be raised to 25, like being emergency responders? How about driver's licenses, right? How about contracts, business contracts or marital contracts? Should minimum be 25? If not, maybe you can get the father-in-law to sign off for permission to marry before 25. Isn't that crazy? 25, 26 has become the new age of maturity. You trace it all the way back to Obamacare, right? They said insurance policies need to take care of Junior or little Susie up to age 26, beyond the policy, up to age 26 on mom and dad's policy. Isn't that crazy? I wonder if it's a result of the new media age that we're in. It takes a little longer to cook these kids before you take them out of the oven. It's 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. As always, an honor to join us filling in for Dana. And today, post-Title 42, how appropriate. We're broadcasting from The Dana Show, Southern Command, from the Rio Grande Valley, Texas. So we've got more information on what conditions are like on the border. Investigative journalist Sarah Carter joining us in a few minutes. So stick around. This is The Dana Show from South Texas.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Twitter will soon have a new CEO, according to our neighbor here in Brownsville, Elon Musk. He's down the street over at SpaceX. Elon Musk saying it's going to be Linda Yaccarino from NBC Universal. We'll soon take the helm. Disney Plus reporting a second straight quarterly drop in subscribers. Man, the hemorrhaging, they continue bloodletting over at Disney. And Bob Iger, he's got some homework to do. They went woke. They're going broke, these people. The streaming service Disney Plus lost another 4 million subscribers in the first quarter closing for this year. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. What else? Consumer sentiment is down sharply this month on concerns of the economy going south. And from California, LA Street saying a new type of flesh-eating zombie drug. Not that it gives you the munchies. You want to taste brains or human flesh. It actually turns the flesh. This zombie drug turns the flesh into something that looks like zombies. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. Stick around. Up next, our conversation with Sarah Carter.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
And this president, President Biden, has rebuilt our refugee processing capabilities and has committed to a large number of refugee admissions to the United States. Our President Biden, has expanded lawful pathways for migrants like no other president passed.
Oh, my goodness. A.K.A. open border. Yeah, committed to a large number. The influx, absolutely. At least that's not a lie on the part of this clown. Alejandro Mayorkas is doing the Menorkas possible to secure the border. Welcome to the Dana Show, amigo. Appreciate you joining us today. This of all days, right, to fire up the Dana Show Southern Command in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. As always, it's an honor to join you here on the Dana Show. Thank you, Dana. Happy Mother's Day, Dana. Big hug to you, my friend, and I appreciate everything that you do daily. You want to say hi online, send any questions or comments. It's at Sergio Talk. That's at Sergio Talk on Twitter. Let's help out our friend Elon Musk, huh? Help him out. Let's get some few eyeballs on there. That's at Sergio Talk. Let me segue now to another friend. Investigative journalist, real deal journalist, Sarah Carter, who I know has been poking around, snooping around the border, looking at what's going on at the border. My friend, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Great to talk to you, Sergio. Thank you so much for having me on. You must know I'm in Brownsville then.
Yeah. So is Brownsville the only market? You're here right now, here in the Rio Grande Valley. Is Brownsville the only place, or did you go to El Paso, Laredo, any other place on the border the past several days?
Right now, last several days, I've been here in Brownsville. I will be heading up to El Paso next week. Last week, I was actually overseas. I was in Budapest, Hungary. So I was there for an event that I was asked to speak at, and I came right back and wanted to be here for the end of Title 42, which, I mean, let's just be frank. I think you said it very clearly in the beginning. This is an open borders policy. It has been since President Biden took office. And I mean, the numbers, they speak for themselves. Over 5 million plus, encounters at the border. That means people that a majority of them being processed barely any background checks, and then being allowed into our country. That's what I was witnessing here in Brownsville. I know that the National Guard has been doing yeoman's work along with the Texas Department of Public Safety under the direction of Governor Abbott. And they've been putting up all of the fencing and putting up all of that barbed wire, going right across the area and the razor wire. But it's not holding people back. We got 22,000 right over the border right now. So 22,000 just in the Brownsville area in Matamoros, waiting to cross over. Thousands have already poured in, over the past week. All of those people are being released. And what they're doing is they're maneuvering the people, and that is both of our law enforcement and our federal law enforcement, trying to maneuver them so that they go through the port of entry. But we know that's not actually working. What they're doing is they're finding the areas where there is no fencing. They're coming in, and then Border Patrol is actually taking them and directing them away from journalists and then putting them on buses. And every Texan knows when you see those big buses coming through town, those big white buses with the blacked out windows, those buses are full of the migrants that are heading to the refugee centers. Refugee centers are already way over capacity. They're releasing them with a notice to appear. And some of those notices, Sergio, are maybe 6 years down the road. Those people are going to just toss those notices and go wherever they want.
10-4, investigative journalist, podcaster Sarah Carter. She's provided a new broadcast, a new podcast on the conditions on the ground here post-Title 42. A real disservice that I know you've witnessed, you've seen it, how the traffic downtown Brownsville. Brownsville is just one of many entry points, by the way, people. We have about 10,000 people crossing illegally on a daily basis. Desperately, the Border Patrol is trying to process all these folks from here to El Paso to San Diego, southern Arizona. They're crossing. But see, one of the popular points is Brownsville because it's the first point going north. That's the most southern point that they can encounter is Brownsville, and then Del Rio, Laredo, and then El Paso. Why would they subject themselves to all that desert country? I don't know why, but they're going to El Paso. And you've seen it in downtown Brownsville, where you got hundreds upon hundreds of people strewn all over the street near the bus station, and they try to keep that population away from the media, from journalists. A real disservice to the American people. And I know that border authorities, Border Patrol, they're under orders to make sure that these folks don't access the media, don't speak to the media. We have some enterprising young reporters out there that are catching some Chinese nationals that crossed illegally, saying, screw the CCP, other folks like that. But there's very little reporting one-on-one with the folks coming in because they're being corralled and sent elsewhere, and it's full downtown Brownsville. I want to say thank you to Producer Kane, by the way, my brother Sugar Kane. He sent me from U.S. Border Patrol HQ, a memo that was sent obviously last night. It said any individual processed under parole with conditions process complete as of 11:45 last night Eastern Time may be released tomorrow, which is today, consistent with the sector's normal release procedure. So they're being released into the country. All these folks that are crossing, and despite all the signs of the cross that they do over at DHS, and they don't come in legally, they're going to be deported. Bull crap.
And they're not being vetted, Sergio. They're not being properly vetted. We can't vet people. Yeah, we can't vet people in their country of origin, right? So what we're doing is we're just running them through our own law enforcement systems, and then maybe Interpol. Interpol, that's where you might hit, and that's the international system. That's where you might hit on somebody who may be connected to a terrorist organization or criminal organization. But let me tell you this, as far as like knowing whether the person was a criminal in Venezuela, Colombia, Syria, that's a joke, right? Because you're not going to get anything out of there. China, you're not going to get anything out of there. We're not going to know. So it doesn't matter. Once they let them go, they let them go. We're not monitoring where the children are being placed. There's so many innocent children, and they are innocent because they're under the age of 18. They have no idea why they're being dragged into this country, and sometimes they're being dragged in here by predators, sex trafficking organizations, and others, work organizations where they're forced into indentured servitude. And then these children are being dragged in here, and then they're just being dispersed into the country. HHS is not checking on them. They're being sold into bondage, literally modern day bondage. And the United States government is actually perpetuating this and actually exploiting this and allowing this to happen. So when you look at the scheme of things, this is what I say. This is just my opinion. But President Biden, to me, is right now the world's biggest head jefe of the trafficking organizations. I mean, this guy is running the biggest trafficking organization in modern history and in the world right now. So we've got to figure out, who's going to pay the price for this? Who's going to accept responsibility when it dissolves even further, or when something really bad happens and the American people are left holding the bag and saying, well, who is responsible for this? We've got to look at the Biden administration because they're making it happen.
Yeah, Joe Biden, obviously, he's angling for Employee of the Year for all the cartels and smugglers that are bringing in drugs and sex trafficking, all these children. And by the way, just a sidebar mention, my guest right now is Sarah Carter. She provided a new podcast on conditions on the ground. Go look for her podcast, investigative journalist Sarah Carter. Look for her podcast on conditions on the ground here, post Title 42, right on the border. And there was a headline last hour, Sarah, and it just I'm trying to contain my anger and my passion on this. The headline read. Or the headline was read, and I'm sure it was copy-paste, just rip and read from whatever the federal government had provided. A child has died while in U.S. custody under Joe Biden at some detention facility, I think moved over to Florida. A child has died while in custody of Immigration Services, immigration officials. You want to guess the age of that child?
It's just horrible. It's horrible.
17. 17, Sarah. 17. Child. 17. They're manipulating the emotions and the heart of the American people. A 17-year-old young man has died while in custody. Lord knows what it could have been. Could have been fentanyl exposure. Could have been the flu. I don't know.
Right.
But there's blood on the hands of this administration. Yeah, exactly. It could have been something like that. It's just pathetic. I mean, child is someone who would be just barely potty trained, right? Like, maybe even prepubescent, doesn't smell like chili anymore. Like, those are little kids. Those are children.
My husband joined the Army at 17. So let's be frank here. The worst humanitarian crisis was caused by President Biden, because this situation, when actual children are trafficked, they are trafficked because our government made a policy that emboldened the human traffickers and the drug cartels to continue doing their business and making hundreds of billions of dollars off of the death of American people and American children, and off of the death of children that are from overseas that are a part of this trafficking ring. And that responsibility lays directly at the feet of the White House and whoever is running it, because maybe President Biden, he's elected, but I believe that unelected officials are actually running our country, and they're running it into the ground, and they're doing it knowingly. It's a dereliction of duty, I believe, and that's something that we have to pay attention to.
You know, absolutely. I'd say put it on the desk of Dr. Jill, you know, so-called, you know, air quotes, Dr. Jill.
Right.
Maybe she's the one making decisions behind the scenes. We need the American people to wake up, and I appreciate all the reports that you do. And check out the latest podcast from Sarah Carter. And by the way, I started this segment with references from, you know, the clown in the center ring right now, Alex Mayorkas. And saying that no other president has done more to provide legal pathways for people to seek asylum. By the way, that app that he's referring to, that's what he's referring to, some app that people that wish to get some type of asylum hearing. It's not working. There's like numerous reports in the news pool, various news services. I'm looking at them right now. It's not working properly. And when it does, that is the ticket in. Ding the radar. Show up on that app, and as soon as you cross illegally, you can stay in this country. So it's in the fine print. People are coming into can come into this country and stay by the millions now, I suppose, if they ding a presence on this new app, this new lawful pathway to citizens. It's disgusting. All right, Sarah, where do we find all your work, and what are you doing after this Brownsville visit? Tell me about the other border things you'll be doing here pretty soon.
I'm planning on going to El Paso next week. I plan on making more trips to other areas of the border. I think Yuma is a very important hotspot. We see a lot of people pouring through, and if anybody wants to hear about this, they could go to the Sarah Carter Show, or they could go to the Dark Wars podcast. So both of them podcasts. Both, I do all of my reporting on there in detail, and I take you on that adventure with me. The Dark Wars podcast or the Sarah Carter Show. Come and join me. You'll be on that adventure with me, Sergio. We're going to go to Yuma together.
Soldier on, amiga. Thank you so much for all the work doing, your efforts to inform, educate the American public. Thank you much, amiga. We'll talk to you soon. Look for her podcast, Sarah Carter. Go online. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. We're broadcasting today from her Southern Command in South Texas.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
This is The Dana Show, and today, the honor, thank you, Dana, thank you so much. Thank you to producer Steve, my brother Sugar Cane, my brother Chris Lash. Thank you, all the team. Thanks for the call. Yeah, only appropriate that we broadcast this post-Title 42 Dana Show from the Rio Grande Valley, the border, right? So you tend to Dana. If Dana is recorded in your market, I do encourage you. Call your favorite radio station, your talk station, news station, and you ask to speak with a program director, the PD, the manager. Say, look, I'd like to get Dana live, please. Maybe an hour or two, if you can carry all three, please, because Dana does a great job, awesome job of carrying live news as it's happening, doing the play-by-play, even some of the audio. So you call your favorite radio station. Let me give you some news I know you would like to know, important news, in fact, the results of a new clinical trial showing that a new wearable patch could prevent allergic reaction in toddlers with peanut allergies. It's a small study. About 200 kids participated in this anti-allergy peanut patch thing. But 67% were able to tolerate a small amount of peanut protein. That's like one peanut to four peanuts. And the author said that toddlers wearing the peanut patch also had a decrease in the number of severe reactions. Again, this is just a clinical trial, but maybe it'll come to market. Let's see. For my family of nerds out there, I love all this space exploration and payload delivery stuff. You know, having Elon Musk here in Deep South Texas at Brownsville, for me, it's a dream come true. I'm still pinching myself. I go down to Boca Chica Beach at Brownsville, there near South Padre, and I'm looking at all these rockets just looking straight into the sky. Thank you, Elon Musk, for choosing us here in South Texas. Meantime, NASA's Stennis Space Center in Mississippi, they tested one of the engines that's going to propel the Artemis V rocket to the moon. They said the test that they ran on Wednesday was a success. This was on the Florida Man pile. This is a weird story. McDonald's liable in a lawsuit that claimed hot chicken nuggets, McNuggets, left a young girl severely burned. Like, how's that even possible? This is from Fort Lauderdale. Well, they came out of the fryer straight into the little box for the Happy Meal, and then you give it to the kid, and the kid shoves it in her mouth and burns up her tongue or what? Anyway, liable. And they're going to get together again to figure out what the damages are. Let's see. Tomorrow is National Association. Saturday, this weekend, Mother's Day weekend, National Association of Letter Carriers. They're doing the Stamp Out Hunger Drive, the food drive event. So don't forget, tomorrow morning, before the mailman or mail woman stop by, leave some cans of food, some dry goods there for them to take and put in a bag so that way they can take some food back for their local food bank. And happy Mother's Day. And, you know, for the birth pains, for the sleepless nights, what else? The special snacks and food that you always cook and always believing in us. Happy Mother's Day. Love you. Love you, Mom. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.